1980, and are interviewing Walter H. Dahm on the East Berry Road, Tin Pan Corners, Albion, New York. Well, when and where were you born?
I was born down on Lee Road. It used to be a tavern. It's where Art Dahm did live. 1893.
The tavern, just whereabouts on Lee Road was that?
Right at the end of the Culver Road.
At the end of Culver Road?
Yeah.
It's on the north side, John.
Welsholtz lives there now.
Who?
Welsholtz.
Welsholtz.
He's dead, his wife.
Welsholtz lives now.
Welsholtz. All right. 1893. All right. Now, you grew up there?
No, I moved away when I was a year old.
To where?
Up on the county house road.
That where the...
Near Portis Corners.
What do we call that now?
Well, it's the county.
The corners. What do we call that corners now? You said Portis Corners?
Yeah, well, still Portis Corners.
Portis Corners.
Where's that?
What was this up west of where Curtis and Carl Parker lived?
What intersection, road intersection is that?
Huh?
What road intersection is
Eagle that? Harbor Road.
Eagle Harbor. Corner, Eagle Harbor and County House Road.
That's Parker's Corners.
Yes.
All right. And how long did you live there?
1 year.
1 year?
Yes.
What house was that?
Thompson's. Stocking. Is this being recorded?
Yeah. This is what we want, the extreme details, because nobody else knows these names.
Is that where the peabiner was?
Yeah.
Okay, that's just a bird's eye experimental
box. Down
all right.
On the East Berry Road.
That's here where you are now?
That's where Mr. I can't think of your name.
Where you live? Well, you lived in the house I live in now.
I ought to have gone through this before.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I lived there 2 years. And from there we moved up. The first place well up on the Fletcher place, Matt Clark Farm. We were there 2 years.
All right. Fletcher place, that's the corner of the Cushing Road.
Yeah.
What year?
The tenant house is opposite the corner, and just next west of that is where Fletcher lived.
Right. What year did that been, Father?
That's right where Fletcher lived.
Yeah.
They didn't know the house any farther up anyway.
What year has that been? Well, you lived in John's house here in 1895 and 6.
Yeah, and we lost the house while we were there. Burned.
The Fletcher house?
Yeah.
Well, that's because I remember going to a fire there myself and they rebuilt it. No, it's a tenant house they rebuilt after the fire. On the Fletcher farm.
That wasn't too long ago.
No, that was a couple of years ago. All right.
They built the house with the barn built since then.
We'll just pick up Potter's voice already. He isn't talking too loud.
All right. Well, let's just see.
Are you reaching here or going
no,
forward?
Now we're going back on. I just want to get a little break in there to make sure. We're going to make a couple corrections here now. The house that Walt was born in was a Mineral Springs?
Yeah, it was a way roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
There used to be a racetrack across from it. There was also a bowling alley there.
There was.
Yeah. So they tell me. I know that because we went back a few years ago. Since I've been married, we had a reunion. Art Dahm lived there. You don't remember that?
No, I didn't know him.
He was an uncle of mine. You remember George down there?
Yeah.
Well, six of them boys, I guess. And the old bowling alley floor was in the barn down there the day we had that reunion. You know, the bowling alley. They set the boards up on the edge, and then they'd plane them down as it wore.
Now, when was this reunion?
Huh?
When was this reunion?
Oh, that, I couldn't tell you.
I mean, roughly.
Oh. I was married in 18. You was born 25.
Mm-hmm.
Before you was born.
So I'll say 1920 or so.
Yes.
All right.
About 22 or 23.
I also want to mention here that this is John Munger taping this, and this is the house that Walt said he lived in earlier in the tape, and his son Reed is helping out and remembering some of these details. Okay, so all these different places you were moving, your family was farming at the time?
Yep.
And you said when you lived in the Fletcher place, you lost that place, the house to fire.
Yeah.
Can you remember anything about the fire, or weren't you home at the time?
Yeah, I was very much at home.
Well, tell us about it.
Well, I can't put things together as fast as I used to. I have two older sisters and I were up the road, but you don't want that in there. But they came down. Bill Tripp was an uncle of mine. Bill Tripp's wife and my father were brother and sister. And Bill Tripp and my mother were brother and sister. You ain't got to tape that.
All right.
But they were there spending the day on a Sunday. And I can remember just like yesterday. Bill Tripp says to my dad, his name is Henry, he says, Hank, El must have an awful fire in there. He says, see the smoke. And it was a, there used to be a evergreen tree in the front yard. You know, those little needles on?
Yeah.
And his squirrels gnawed a hole in the shingles. And evidently a spark flew in there and got that afire.
Was this in the summertime?
Yeah. We went up the road as kids for berries. That'd be about July, I'll imagine. Red raspberries.
Well, how were you able to get fight the fire?
Didn't have fire companies.
Nobody, no bucket brigade or neighbors
Neighbors come in, you couldn't do anything to them between the attic, you know, and the roof.
What an awful thing just to stand there and watch it go.
Sure.
Were you able to get your household things out of it?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember they had my folks bought a new rain stove just a short time before. It was only there 2 years. And they got the stove out and they tumbled it out. It wasn't very good shape after they tumbled it out.
Imagine.
Cast iron stove, wasn't it?
Huh?
Cast iron stove, probably.
No, it was a range, square stove. You know, had tin on the side.
Oh, I see.
You know the range.
Don't
know it. You don't see them anymore. Well, while he was there, there was a fellow went by. This is don't make much difference, but I can remember. I think he lived up this road.
That's Culver Road you're talking about.
Yeah, somewhere.
Yeah.
What was his name? I think he went with, well, the girl up there. He went up the center anyway. They hollered at him. He kept on going. And he stopped up the center to buy a cigar or something. And they noticed the smoke up there and they asked him, why he says, Hank Dom's house on fire.
Just like that.
Just like that. That's what they told me afterwards.
Nothing important.
No.
Just your house going up in the smoke.
Yep. Hank Dom's house on fire.
Well, it seems like
just a young fella, you know, probably in his teens, early 20s, going to see his girlfriend.
So nothing's really changed. We have that problem today. People going by and there's trouble and they don't stop to take any care of it.
Yeah, I can hear my folks tell that now.
All right, so now we have you up here at this house.
What did you do after the fire?
We lived in that little shanty there. There's a shop, ain't there?
Yeah.
If you go by there, you'll see where they cut the stovepipe hole in the side of it.
I'll have to look at the next time I go by.
I will too. I didn't know that.
I think you'll see it there yet.
Oh,
yeah, we lived in that.
Well, there's a barn there.
Oh, yeah. There's a big
this one. Is the shed next to the barn or something?
No, it's, I think it's there. Yeah, it was here a few years ago.
Like a chicken house out there or something, sir.
Yeah, I think it's quite a shed. Not much of a shop, that's what's more like.
Yeah, it's one of, it's
I think so.
It's one on the east end of the barn, I think. It's
east, northeast.
Packed in there.
It's okay. Set separate. sits off separate, don't
no,
it?
No, it just shows we see everything every day, we don't pay attention to it.
Yes, sir. I've seen it.
Okay.
Yeah. Go on, Father. What happened then? You lived there for how long, in that little shop?
We lived in there, let's see. It had Ethel, Nella, and I, and Gert, George, and Clyde.
How many years
six
that?
Six kids, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
How many years that encompass?
Well, we lived there 2 years.
Oh, okay.
I think we moved in. I can't say whether that was the first year or the second year we were there. I couldn't tell you. I think it was the second year.
Well, did you rebuild the house when you were there? Or?
Yeah, they rebuilt it.
Well, tell us about the rebuilding.
Huh?
Tell us about the rebuilding of the house. Did you have a bee to do it, or?
No.
Just a regular carpenter crew come in?
Where'd the lumber come from?
Lord only knows, I don't.
Okay.
Hey, you know, I was only 5 or 6 years old.
Yeah.
Well, you might have been told some of these things.
Yeah.
You told me where the lumber came down here to Thompson's barn, anyway.
Huh?
You told us where the lumber came from down at Thompson's barn.
No, I don't have
to. We'll get to that later.
All right. So what do we get to next? He finally came up here, to this house.
No, he moved. Where'd you go from there?
He came to where I live now.
Yeah. Then we went to Fletcher's.
Yeah.
Then we went back on Lee Street. You know where Johnny Cake Lane is?
Yeah.
You go to Johnny Cake Lane, you turn and come right down on this corner.
I can't think of who lives there.
Where are you going from? Are you going from Lee Road?
You go up Johnny Cake Lane.
You're going north on Johnny Cake Lane?
To Lee Road, at the end.
You can't go any
further. Right on this corner.
It's on Lee Road itself.
It's on the Lee Road itself.
Coming back east on Lee Road.
Yeah, just not any farther than here to, or 10th farther than here to the corner.
How long did you live there?
2 years.
You lived 2 years everywhere you went so far.
Yeah. Well, the next place we lived forever. 1900. Now, this ain't 99, but 89.
All right.
I made one mistake.
Yeah. Oh, whoa.
Then we moved down here in 1901, the year of the Pan American.
He means he moved down here in his...
Where we lived down here in the swamp.
This farm back here...
On the Culver Road.
Or the Culver Road.
Where Todd Mathis just used to live here.
Yeah.
That was...
He moved there in 1901.
His dad's farm.
He moved there in 1901.
Yep.
That's on the west side of the road.
Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. He lived there before Todd Mathis lived there.
Well, his brother... Virgil,
yeah, all right. See, that's the house way back up
there. Right, that's been in the Dom home, Dom hands all these years until Dave Mathis bought it, approximately 4 years ago, something like that.
All right.
Well, I lived there until 1918 and got married.
All right, now, who did you marry?
Where?
Who and where?
Ethel Reed.
From Holly.
Yeah. R-E-I-D.
That's where I get my name from, sir.
Oh, I see.
Ethel M.
And were you wealthy enough then to go on a honeymoon, or did you just have to come home?
Well, we got married in Hawley, and we drove from there to Rochester to my wife's grandmother's. Stayed there all night, and I got up 6 o'clock next morning and went to work.
Now, what'd you drive then, Father?
Huh?
How'd you get to Rochester from Hawley? You didn't have a car then?
No.
Trolley?
No. My brother Virgil, a boat.
What car did he have then? Clyde Rickenbacker?
No, George had the Rickenbacker.
Oh, that's Clyde. Okay. What did Clyde have?
Huh?
What did Clyde have then for a car?
I don't know. And I stayed in, I worked at Hunkerford Smith's syrup factory till the first day of March.
Do you remember where that syrup factory was at that time?
East Avenue, I believe.
East Avenue?
You know Rochester?
I was born and raised there.
Sure, that's his home.
Ain't that right?
Well, they might have moved. That's why I asked. When I grew up there, the corner of Goodman and East Main Street, not too far from where the main line of New York Central goes underneath the... tracks, or underneath the main street.
Well, where? who was right east of some big factory.
Then going out Main Street from there was a beech nut factory.
I think this is honey. Am I wrong on East Avenue?
Well, East Avenue is mostly residential.
I know, that's where the Elite lives.
Yeah, so it's probably East Main Street. But you weren't too far from the public market, were you?
I don't know.
When you worked there?
No. What was it? Huh. Beechnut ain't out there.
Beechnut, yeah. Beechnut is out farther from where Hungerford Smith is. So that'd be East Main Street. Well, we got that straight. Well, how long did you work there?
Till the 1st of March.
You were married then in...
18th of December.
18th of December.
19th, I went to work.
And then until the 1st of March, and then you came back out here?
Yeah, I come out and stayed up with my dad. 24th of March, that's my birthday.
All right.
And then we went up on the county house road. And I lived up there 11 years.
Now, whereabouts the county house road this time?
Well...
The Porter's Corner is when you were a little kid that you stayed there.
Yeah,
it's up west of there.
About a mile west of there, just before you come to Thomas's Corners. That'd be the Long Bridge Road now.
All right.
Long Bridge and County House.
North side. The house is on the north side, and the barn is on the south side.
All right. That's where you started farming then?
Yep. It was 11 years.
And what kind of farming did you do then?
General.
Don't forget to tell him, Father, you fell out of the apple tree about 6 feet and broke your arm. Wrist, remember that?
Yeah. Oh, you peas, tomatoes, corn, hay, kept sheep, had pigs, had our own pork, chickens.
All right, then you're there 11 years.
Then I moved over here on the Doc Smith farm, you know where the power line is?
Yeah. The power line in East Lee Street.
Yeah. Or you go down through the swamp. The first place on the right side. Dudley Mathis owns it now.
Yeah.
That was 1930. Marilyn was born there. Let's see. I think it's the 3rd of November. And the next 1st of March, we moved over here in
33.
That's when you sold eggs for 10 cents a dozen.
Well, 1933 was a pretty important year, wasn't it? Wasn't that the year of the big freeze?
Yeah.
Tell them about your orchard down here.
Yeah, closed my orchard first year. 40 below zero.
Yeah, I've heard stories of farmers sitting in their kitchen during that freeze and listening to their trees explode just like rifle shots. Is that right?
The what?
The trees exploded just like rifle shots.
Trees?
Yeah.
Yes, I've heard it. I and my brother cut, you know.
Yeah. Did yours explode?
Yours. Well, I cut wood up here where Jonesy lives now.
Yeah.
Cutting hard maple in there. Snapped like a rifle shot. We was working it out in the cold. I wouldn't say it's 40 below zero then, but
did these trees in your orchard explode at all?
No, I don't think
so.
I don't think the apple trees did.
Tell John what happened when you're moving the load of hay over here from Doc Smith's place. The first load, I think it was. Right out here.
Oh, I got out here. Tipped over.
Mud, right, in spring?
Yeah. Right over wire fence. There was a wire fence going these.
That was all loose hay?
Loose hay.
Sure.
Part of it, I got a wagon off. I had two roads. I had a wagon one. I got up to George, and his was noted for tipping over. I didn't know that.
We're 120 feet in the barn and tipped over.
Well, at that point, did you have, how did you put the hay in the barn? The loose hay in the barn? Did you have to fork it all up, or did you have a hay fork, or did you have slings?
Oh, no slings. Had slings after been here a few years. I still got them out in the barn now.
I don't know, I can't remember what you did do. I remember it tipped over.
Well, the forks came before the slings did.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure they probably fished it off.
I can't really tell you. I think we had a fork in the south end of the barn.
I know that. I remember driving the horse and pulling it up.
That was afterwards. But I don't think there's any doors in the west end of the barn.
No, there wasn't.
No, I think we took them off with the horses.
Well, what other events did you have here in 1930? So what kind of adventures did you have?
Fences?
Adventures.
No, adventures.
Oh, adventures.
Father, I think they'd be interested in that bottom lot of yours. You went down one Sunday morning and burnt those original stumps off. Tell them about that.
Oh. You're going to get all by personal now, ain't you?
We want to know about you. I mean, you lived here. You went through all this. We weren't here.
Well, when I moved here, that flat down there, some of it had never been broke up. And it used to have snow quite deep, I imagine, because there were stumps about that high. Most of them white oak. You know what white oak is.
Yeah. Miserable.
The roots had rotted, but the stump stood there. I went down and salt the sheep one morning.
Tell them why those stumps stood up so high.
Well, the snow was deep in the woods. That was a swamp at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But they cut the trees.
They cut the trees up. And I went down and salt the sheep one morning and touched the grass off and it burnt them stumps. And I was figuring on those stumps for winter 33 and 4 of firing my furnace. But I didn't have
it. It was all up.
Well, it's quite a few. Well, it'd take about four blocks, you know. Harder than flint.
That makes a good fire.
Oh, boy.
You might tell them about clearing off some of those rocks down here across from Bill Morton's. There's big ones there you blew up and you drew them off with horses and stuff. You used to blast, see?
Oh, you blasted?
Yeah. Did mowing. Oh, I did a little out.
You're all in one piece yet.
Huh?
You must have been careful. You're all in one piece.
Well, I tried to be careful.
Did you use loose powder then, or did you have...
Dynamite.
You had dynamite cast.
Yeah, bought a case of it.
No, that smoke gave you a headache, didn't it?
Huh?
That smoke used to give you a headache.
Yeah. No. Afraid I'm not a very good speaker.
You didn't mention in all this and you're growing up where you went to school.
I'm just going to get that down here. Go ahead, Father.
Well, when we moved down here, I didn't go to school there. We moved the 24th of March, my birthday, 1901. And we moved there about the 15th of March, about a week ahead of my birthday. And I didn't go to school till after I was 8 years old, probably around the 30th of March, somewhere in there.
Do you remember any of the teachers you had there?
Huh?
That was being here at the Tin Pan Corners School.
No.
That was the other end.
That would be number two.
Mineral Springs.
The Mineral Springs School.
They call that Mineral Springs down there.
Just a little ways from her.
You know
where? Down there in the Whale Shelf's place.
Oh, yeah, all right.
And he knows his teacher. We talked about her tonight here. Where is she, Father? Who was your teacher there?
Oh, I had several of them. That's where I graduated. Eighth grade. I could spell cat, still cat.
Can't find her name here.
Who was your teacher there?
Oh, Lord. The first one I had was Miss McGuinn. I didn't go on just... from April to about June, and then lit up May sometime. I can't tell you. I went to a Larwood, and I went to a Brown, and a Thayer, a Parson, Wilson.
Well, who was that teacher you wanted to look up, you told me tonight?
Verna Parson. G-E-R-N-A, P-O-S-S-O-N.
She's still living, you think?
Yeah, they tell me she's still alive.
Well, we'll ask some of these people around. Howard Pratt should know.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yep. So you got out of the eighth grade.
Yeah.
Did any particular tricks that you pulled on the teachers?
Huh?
Any particular tricks that you remember you pulled on the teachers?
I never pulled any.
Nobody else did? You're all good little boys and girls?
Well, I wouldn't say it. I was too bashful.
You might tell them how you got back and forth to school. You probably walked, didn't you?
Oh, yes. Walked cross lots. You know where the house is down there?
Yeah.
Well, we went right straight down across and come up right in front of the schoolhouse. Most of the time in the winter. Or most of the time anyway, I guess.
Let's go into that winter. Of course, this winter is quite open. We've had some bad ones the last couple of years. And Sunday's paper, they told about how mild the winters used to be. Were the winters really severe when you were back in those days, or were they...
They weren't as mild as they are this year.
But they weren't as bad as they were last year.
Well, I think I've seen them worse.
All right.
Sometimes we didn't go to school.
Speaking of winters, Father, we were talking about the roads tonight. Tell John about something about a bobsleigh. You used to put a plank in between it to clear the roads or something?
Well, yeah. I don't know just how they fixed it. Generally, we just go up through and down on the team, the bobsleigh.
All right.
They used to use the Calvin Killer. You've heard that probably.
No.
No? You know what a Calvin Kittle is? One of these big round iron kettles?
Yeah.
They don't. I got one in the barnyard out there.
All right. Well, so what'd you do with that?
Like that.
Hook that behind the sleigh on one side. So it'd be on one side.
Yeah.
Then someone get in there and stand there.
And then that was the way you plowed the road?
That would make a track. Then you'd come back on the other side, I suppose.
Uh-huh.
Of course, bobsleighing is wide as a wagon, you know. You've driven wide sleighs, probably.
No, I don't think I've ever been in a sleigh.
Me neither, I guess. But a bobsled wasn't very wide from ones I've seen.
It's just about as wide as a wagon.
3 feet, maybe, or something?
Huh?
3 feet, maybe? More?
Yeah. I don't think they were 3 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the roads, did you ever work on any of these plank roads where they laid logs across?
Tell about the one down here in the swamp.
When this swamp road was there, that was what they call a corduroy road.
That's through from the East Berry Road to East Lee Street on Culver.
Oh, that's a Culver Road right down through here, right?
Yeah, from our road through to Lee Street.
Well, not the full, just through the swamp.
Just through the swamp of the corduroy road.
Well, since I've been here, when they used to scrape roads, you don't remember that, probably.
No.
They had scrapers. Well, they'd draw them with a, just an engine. And they'd pull them old logs out. I've seen them. They'd get a hold of one, pull it out, then they'd put some gravel in, filled in. And there's one place down here, there was probably a pine tree that big.
That'd be about 3 feet.
Close to it, I imagine. Right in the middle of the road.
Isn't that something?
And since I come here, one spring when they scraped it, they pulled that out. They tipped it over, it was down there, but I guess it's... I imagine it's there yet, because pine lasts a long time, you know.
Going back, getting to Rochester, you would have come back and forth a little bit. Do you remember where the train terminal was in Rochester for the people who took the train from Holly to Rochester? Folks used to go in and go shopping in the day and then come back at night. But I cannot find out where they got off of that trolley in Rochester.
Well, I took it many a time. Because when I worked there, I used to come home weekends less of time.
That's why I'm asking you. It didn't go at the central station, the big station. It didn't go in there.
My goodness, I can't tell you.
That's what I'm trying to find out.
Huh.
A lot of people went back and forth on that trolley.
Did you take the trolley or the train, Dad?
I took trolley.
Trolley.
Yeah.
What were you doing in Dutchtown?
I don't know what it was.
No, that was Swilberg, they called it.
Oh, yeah?
Swilberg. Gregory Street. That's over off of Clinton Avenue.
Yeah.
South Clinton Avenue.
I didn't know that.
And that's where the German Club is, on Gregory Street.
It is.
Yep. And right across, and that's a big Catholic church. We're on now.
Oh, you're on now.
The big Catholic church that burned all about 4 years ago. And the German Club's right across from it. Gregory Street isn't too long.
No. I live on the west end pretty well.
Mm-hmm. All right, so now where are we?
Well,
we haven't been able to find out where we get off the trolley, but...
No. Well, I think I'll go back down here to Billin Roads again. Father was telling me tonight about pathmasters and districts, Dad. You want to elaborate on that part a little bit? Maintaining the roads, all you fellas?
Bill give you any of that?
No.
Well, of course, they didn't have any cars and tractors, trucks. And they used to have districts. They had a district down this road. I guess they come up this corner. I don't know how far north it did, because there was a town line there between where I went to school, see?
Yeah.
That's where, about where
it's going up. North from here up Culver Road.
Right.
All right.
That'd be a district, and have one of the farmers would be pathmaster.
Pathmaster.
Path, P-A-T-H, master.
All right.
And when he'd try and maintain the roads, if you got a hole in there or something, they'd have a time that they'd, when the farmers wasn't busy, that they'd fix these roads. They'd come up, and they'd come up this gravel pit over here. Get the ground.
That's across the north side of the road from you here now.
Yeah, right over here.
All right.
Yes, I have seen it. Yeah. They ain't much gravel there anymore. And a fellow that had a little place, now Ballard lives down there, or Bill Morton, Bill didn't live here, but whoever lived there, they would go in the pit and shovel it onto the wagons, and probably one would, if it was how many there was, they'd want to go down to the other place and rake them over and put the stone on. Well, the road's like this, you know. You break the stone to the end of the, pack it down, throw a little gravel on top of it so there wouldn't be some big stone.
I see.
That's the way they maintained the roads.
Well, some of the fellows had horses to work with, right?
Oh, yes, there's horses.
Wagons and stuff?
Oh, yes, there was no trucks or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the guys that didn't have the wagons, they had to do the bull work, and the guys that had the wagons and horses drove, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us about that famous murder down here in the middle of the swamp, Father. 1900, was it?
Yeah. Bill go through that?
No.
1900. Richest Corners, you know where that is?
Yeah.
Well, they had two stores there at one time.
Stores?
Yeah. Grocery stores.
All right.
In fact, there's four barrel factories there at one time. Was someone too big a factory, but they had one fellow. The other trolleys had quite a few coopers to make barrels.
This is
well, that people that lived down there, their son went around peddling. You remember when didn't Grody used to come by your place?
Yeah.
Just like that, see. So he was on his way home. That's where we moved here, the year before we moved here. That's 90 down there. We lived up on Lee Street. I remember my dad coming home. He went to Oakfield that day. He came home and he said that there'd been a fella murdered. And his name was Horace Halpin.
Who was it?
Horace Halpin.
Horace Halpin.
Yeah. And the last place he stopped was over the stone house over here. And he had a man with him. And when he went going home, he got down, you know where the swamp, where the island is down there?
Yeah.
The fellow said he had to get out and urinate. He got out and went back of the peddling wagon. And when he come around back, he had a pistol in his hand, and he deliberately shot the fellow. No ifs and ands, of course, no one knows, but he only got a few dollars.
They ever catch the fellow?
Let's see, out of the woman down the first place, down through the swamp. I don't know who did find the horses. They didn't run away or anything. And they, some woman took him down to Rich's Corners, where the store stood on that corner. They didn't get there, but there was a, what they call a horse block.
Mm-hmm.
You just get no carriage. We had an elaborate one down home. Had steps and quite a platform. There's an old fellow used to be out there, and they'd gather there, and this Mrs. Dibbley took him down there. And they didn't know what happened to him. Someone happened to open up his shirt. There was blood. That's the first he'd known and been shot.
Well, he was still alive at that point.
Huh?
He was still alive when he got the storm.
Dead as a mackerel.
All right.
Yeah. And they didn't know who killed him or anything of the kind. Well, I could go on and tell you a lot, but anyway, the next year or something, I think they got him over to Elba. There was a circus there or something. He was going to that circus. His name was Conover.
Conover?
Huh?
Conover.
C-O-N-I-B-E-R.
All right, that's why I asked you to get the correct spelling of it.
Yeah. And they tried him down here, and the boy, he was a young fellow that they shot, his mother, of course we had capital punishment then, which we'd ought to have now.
Yeah.
And she pled of the judge not to electrocute him. I don't know what did happen to him. He probably served out his term.
I think you're right, because in the history of Orleans County, there's only been one person convicted that actually was killed as a punishment for his crime.
Is that right?
That's a whole other story.
He was hung.
Yeah, he was hung.
He was hung. The only man hung in Orleans County.
Right.
Do you remember about that?
Oh, yeah. I don't remember. It's for my time. It's just, it's handed down to me.
Yeah, this is...
They built a scaffold down here. I think his name is Wilson.
What's that? What was the name?
Wilson.
I think that does sound familiar.
Yeah, W-I-L-S-O-N. You've
got a memory,
I'll
tell you.
All right, so now what's our
Let me see. As long as we're right down around this locality, Father...
Are you recording this now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all on tape here. Tell them about the lime kilns, one over by Ben Johnson's over here, where you said they had the lumber, or not lumber, but the wood stacked up by the road and everything, and the binder smashed. Tell them about that.
Oh, that's it. Well, if you want it.
Sure, that's what you want.
Well, when we moved down here, my dad had a binder. That was one that tied, it wasn't a self rake. You don't know a thing about the self rakes.
You'd be surprised what I know about.
Tell them what this binder did and didn't do.
Well, it tied the bundles.
Mm-hmm.
The south rake, they called them a south sweep. You had a fan come down and on a table, and then it got so much there you'd have to trip it and push it off, and then you had to tie them with a band.
All right.
That's the south. This is a binder. Uncle George down here borrowed my dad's binder. Well, this man, Johnson, lived over on the... He wouldn't get my gestations in. Johnson lived over here. You know, there's two Johnsons. You know where Egloff lives.
Yeah.
There's two big barns up yonder. The second one up, Mert Johnson just died.
Yeah, I know Mert Johnson.
Yeah.
I know him.
Well, his... I don't know what it was to him. But Ed Johnson lived this side of us. His father...
That's
lived
where Laverne Fancher lives now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Ben Johnson, that is Ed's father, where Laverne lived up yonder. And he had a lime kiln back in there. I guess it's still back in there. I've never been back.
On the south side, John.
I have never been back in to look for it.
But they used to have a chicken.
I used to go swimming back there one time.
Did you?
Yeah.
They used to have a bar across so you couldn't drive back in there. The lever used to go up in there some, I guess. I don't know. And he had a wood lot down here. about across from the dump.
All right.
I guess it's 28, isn't it? And he used to draw the wood over there, use the wood, you know, to burn the lime. You don't know anything about the lime business.
So you tell the story, then I'll ask the question.
Yeah. Well, he'd get the wood down here, and he'd cut the wood in the winter, most likely. Pile it side the road down here, 4 foot long, I think it was. And Uncle George got my dad's binder, and he brought it home. He ran in that wood pile. The binder had dividers on them, you know, so it'd bring the grain in, mm-hmm. separate it. He bent that divider. That made my dad kind of mad.
He
never said anything about it. And he went through the woods, west, they ain't a road there. But my youngest brother, Bogue, used to fly an airplane. He's the one just died. You probably didn't know his.
No, I didn't know him.
A couple months. He's the one who lived down there before Tom, her, Mathis got the farm. But when he'd fly over the woods, he could see those, there wasn't, there's big trees on the sides, but he'd see the, where the road was. He used to tell me about it.
You're talking about the lime kiln.
We're going across the swamp, John.
All right.
This is in the wintertime only. They had a path right.
They didn't go in the summertime.
From the cover road in the middle of the swamp down here, right straight west, to over the lime kiln road where the lime kiln was, more or less.
Just a
shortcut, what it was. Yeah.
Well, when was this lime kiln operating? I mean, what year?
Well, it was operating probably, I'd say, 93 or 94.
I didn't know they still were operating that late. That's why I asked.
There was another one over on Rock Street was too.
Right over here.
Oh, there's a picture of that.
Yeah.
That's been published an awful lot.
Is there?
Yeah.
They call that Rock Street, that little section north of there, you know. It's all part of Lee Road, but it's they call that little section Rock Street where the Lion Kiln is.
Right, yeah, Rock Island. Yeah.
Well, in fact, there used to be two over there. I can remember the one just before you go down Rock Street, before you go through that little woods there, right on this side.
On the west side?
No, south. South, well, east side.
Oh, yep. But you mean south, where the original road curved around east of where it is now? You mean there was another lime kiln there?
Well, where Guernsey lived is just north of Guernsey's.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, and then this other one has been running. It